and we're going to end up in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. But Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to start there this morning. A lot of people want to make a difference in this world. A lot of people want to stand up and they want to say, hey, this is what you need to believe and hey, follow me. And those are all good kind of things. But the problem is there's a lot of people who are going about it the wrong way and pointing people in the wrong direction. I believe that we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to live a life that shows other people the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we trust Jesus Christ our Savior, I believe that our whole goal in living, the only reason God has left us on this earth is to live a radical life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I understand the circumstances that we find ourselves in. I understand that everything that used to be is no longer. And I understand that tragedy happens. And I understand that all these things take place that gets us, even scares us and gets us out of the rhythm. But brothers and sisters, like I've said before and I'll continue to say, and you have said already this morning, our God is alive. Our God is a God worth serving. Our God wants us to continue living for Him. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Brian? Because we're still alive. We will not die until God wants us to come home. Okay? It's appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. And so I want you to understand this morning, God still has a task for us. God still has a reason for you living. God still is the one in total control, like Tanner read this morning from Colossians chapter 1. All things consist by His power and in His power and for His power. So this morning, I want us to learn how to live a radical life for Christ in today's society. How to live a radical life for Christ in today's society. Making a difference. Making a difference. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13. We're going to start there. Jesus, these are the very words of Jesus that was spoken to the people that were surrounding Him on the Sermon on the Mount. But here's the words that He spoke to them. This is just a brief few words that we're going to look at this morning. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." He doesn't say maybe. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? What good is it? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Now, he's not saying if you don't serve God that you ought to be trodden under the foot of men. That's not what he's saying. He's trying to make a point and say, listen, salt is intended to savor food. Salt is intended to create a thirst for things. God and Jesus is saying, listen to me, you are the salt of the earth. But if you're not being used like salt, you might as well just throw it out on the road. Verse number 14. And He says this, "You are the light of the world." He doesn't say you can be. He doesn't say you might be. He says, "You are the light of the world." Brothers and sisters, if Jesus Christ is living in you, the light of the world is living in you, you are the light of the world. So let me ask you a question. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world? Amen. All right. How many of you understand and realize that you are to be the light of the world also? You understand that? Okay. Then He says this, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and they give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see," who? The world. "They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Making a difference. We are to make a difference so that the world sees the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we live. That's why we exist. That's why you're still breathing air, brothers and sisters. Making a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not here to make a difference for you. You're not here to make a difference for me. You're not here even to make a difference for the Victory Baptist Church. You are here to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has called you to live a radical life. Now, sometimes when we hear that word radical, we get a negative connotation. The word radical means just standing out. You have permission from God Almighty to stand out for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have permission from God Almighty to stand out and to show the world the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me ask you a question. Do you even want to? Do you even have that desire? Or do you just want to go through life going ho-hum? Has this pandemic been a blessing to you? Well, what do you mean, Brother Brian? Has it given you permission to stay home and not interact with people? There's a lot of people who just want to stay home. They don't want nothing to do with the world. They want nothing to do with anybody else. They've been perfectly happy to stay home. Brothers and sisters, we've not been called to stay home. We have been called to make a difference. We have been called to be the salt. We have been called to be the light. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have been called to make a radical difference in this world. Amen? Amen. All right, so go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to give you three ways this morning to live a radical life for God. Three ways to make a difference in this world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see the call that Jesus Christ has given to us. He says, you are to be, you are the light, you are the salt. And so I want to give you three ways to live a radical life for Christ, to make a difference in this world. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Now, at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture is spoken of. And I've talked to a lot of people. A lot of you have said the same thing, and you've talked to a lot of people. Oh, I can't wait for the rapture to happen. Oh, I can't wait for Jesus Christ to come for the church. How many of you are ready for the rapture? You all ready for that to take place? And people are saying, yes, I get to go home. I get to see my loved ones. I get to see the Lord Jesus Christ. But think about this for a minute. What about those who are left behind? Do you even care? Or is it just all about our pleasure? Is it just all about what makes us happy? Is it all okay? We get to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I can't wait to see my loved ones. But what about those who will be left? Think of the hell they're going to go through. The 7 years of tribulation that will immediately begin to follow after the rapture takes place. What about those people? See, if we only want the rapture to take place for our pleasure, if we only want the rapture to take place to get us out of this world, then we have got it completely backwards. I'm looking forward to the rapture, but my heart goes out to those who will not be part of the rapture. Do you really care about that neighbor who's going to go through the 7 years of tribulation, going to die probably. Two-thirds of the population of the earth will die in the tribulation. It's going to be misery. What about that older neighbor down the street that you mow their yard? Do you care that they're going to go through the tribulation? What about your cousin? What about your uncle? What about your grandparents? Do you really care that they're going to go through hell on earth? What about your coworker? Brothers and sisters, I'm looking forward to the rapture, and I can't wait for it to happen. But I want to make a difference in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ for as long as He gives me to make a difference. That ought to be our motivation, because I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go through the tribulation. I don't want anybody to experience that. So I want to live my life on fire. I want to live my life making a difference. How about you? Ho-hum, Brother Brian. How about you, brothers and sisters? All right, there we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Number one, the number one way to live a radical life is walking in holiness. Walking in holiness. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 4. It says this, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, speaking of fellow believers, of those who know Jesus Christ their Savior, we beseech you, brethren, and we exhort you, we encourage you by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says we're begging you and we're exhorting you by the Lord Jesus Christ as you have received of us. He says how we ought to walk and to please God so that you would abound more and more. He says, listen, we have taught you over and over. I've written to you over and over. You've heard this over and over. And I'm begging you. I'm going to teach you how to walk in the Lord. Verse number 2. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, means you're growing in the Lord, that you should abstain from fornication. You want to grow in the Lord? Abstain from fornication. You want to know what God's will is? Abstain from fornication. That's every sexual lust that's ungodly. That's exactly opposite of what God calls us to be. You want to be sanctified and continue to grow in the Lord? Avoid sexual lusts. You cannot live in adultery. You cannot live in a life that's sexually outside of the bonds of marriage and growing in the will of God. It's completely impossible. That's what he's saying. I know that's not popular, and I know that's going to get a lot of negative things from people, but brothers and sisters, that's what God is saying here. You can't grow in the Lord and be sleeping around like a junkyard dog. You can't be growing in the Lord and committing adultery. You can't. It's totally opposite. You can't be growing in the Lord and having a same-sex relationship. That's what it says. Well, Brother Brian, you're being awful mean. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says here. Holiness. Walk in holiness. How in the world? Now, listen to me for a minute. How much credibility would I have as your pastor if I was out having relations with someone who was not my wife and then I get up here behind the pulpit and I preach his word? How much credibility is that? None. If I was out here and I was in a relationship with a male and having those kind of relationships and then I get behind this pulpit and start preaching, how many of you would come back to hear me preach? So then why in the world does it happen? You want to make a difference? Walk in holiness. Verse number 4, he says, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. He says, listen, God's goal is that you know how to live. God's goal is that you know how to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to grow in him. Verse number 5, and not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. He was writing to a people in Thessalonica, and Thessalonica was a wicked, ungodly place. They had different shrines in different places. Matter of fact, they had one shrine that was completely dedicated for prostitutes to go to. And you would go to this shrine and you would pay money and then you would engage in sexual liaisons with people who weren't even married to. And they were worshiping their false god by doing that. And Paul is simply saying, listen, you want to make a difference? Then don't attend those things. Don't have nothing to do with those things. Completely avoid those things. Here's what he says now. He says that no man should go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Wow, that's a tough one. That means intentionally doing something that you know is wrong to your brother in Christ. Dishonesty. Oh, I'll send you this through the mail. But you never do. They send you the money. How many of you have been ripped off for buying something and they never got it in the mail or whatever? It's a horrible feeling. Or you go to buy a vehicle from somebody and you buy that vehicle from somebody and they never tell you that they forgot to put oil in. You get about 5 miles down the road, the engine blows up. It's supposed to be a Christian who did this to you. You get defrauded. Brothers and sisters, don't do that once in a while. Matter of fact, don't do that to anybody. Liars. He says, defraud not his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned you and testify. God will take care of it. I promise you, we get away with nothing. You think you got one over on somebody? You think you pulled the wool over your parents' eyes? You think that somehow, someway, you did something that nobody saw? May I tell you, God is the avenger of such things. You will not stand before me. I will not stand before you, but I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And He knows everything. Now, some people get scared about this. Some people think, well, that means I'm going to die and go to hell. Absolutely not. When you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, you have eternal life. But we will one day give an account for what we said and what we did in our bodies as Christians.
and they will be judged as by fire. Now, it's got nothing to do with our souls. Our souls are going to heaven. But we will have wood, hay, and stubble on one side. We'll have gold, jewel, and silvers on the other side as Christians. And when that fire comes down and tries them, everything that we did that brought glory to ourselves, everything that we did that we thought was our own selves and our own power, it'll be burned up. But everything that we did for the Lord Jesus Christ will be left behind. It'll be tried by fire. And then what are we going to do with that? We're going to go and we're going to cash it in. No, we're not. You know what we're going to do with it? We're going to take it and we're going to give it back to Jesus Christ. And you say, now wait a minute, that's foolish. Why would I do that? Because He died for me. I get to give it all back to Him. Brothers and sisters, don't live this life for temporary pleasure. Live this life for eternal glory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 7, why? For God has not called us to uncleanness, He has called us to holiness. Underline that in your Bibles right there. God has not saved you to be unclean. God has not saved you to let your body be ravaged by the nastiness and filthiness of this world. God has not called you and saved you so that you can bring glory to yourself. God has saved you and called you to bring Him glory. Verse number 8. He therefore that despises not man, but instead, but God, who has given us unto us His Holy Spirit. When you do what you do that's different than what God wants, you're not despising your parents. You're not despising your pastor. You're not despising anybody but God. If you claim that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you live a life completely opposite of this, you're simply saying, God, I don't respect you. God, I despise you. God, I want nothing to do with you. That's what He's saying. You want to make a difference? Be holy. You want to make a difference? Live holy. You want to make a difference? Live in sanctification. You want to make a difference? Grow in the Lord on a daily basis. That's what it's saying. Do what God has called you to do. You can't make a difference otherwise. Amen? Amen. Number two, how to live a radical life, making a difference. All right, number two, walk in harmony. Walk in harmony. Now, what do you mean? What does harmony mean? Hand in hand. Pleasantly one with another. I love watching people who are married holding hands walking down the street. I love looking at the eyes, and I love looking in this, hearing the sweet voices of them saying, Michelle, you put a picture out there this morning of your grandparents walking hand in hand. That's harmony. Now, did they always get together? Did they always agree with each other? Absolutely not. How many of you agree with your spouse every day? How many of you agree to disagree with your spouse every day? Just because that happens doesn't mean there's not harmony. But there's something about when you're walking in the same way and the same thought process with somebody else. Here's what Paul writes here in verse number 9. Here's what he says. He says, but as touching brotherly love, as speaking about it, he says, you need not that I write unto you. He says this, for why? For you yourselves are taught of God to love one. He says, listen, you don't need my reminder, he says. He says, listen, I've taught you this before. I've instructed you this before. You don't need to remind me because God has put it in your heart. Let me help you out with something. If you claim that the Lord Jesus Christ is living inside of you, your love for fellow believers is going to come naturally. It's not something that's got to be worked up. That doesn't mean that you accept what everybody does. It doesn't mean that you agree with everybody does, but if God is your Savior, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, your spirit gets together with the spirit of other people. And there's a natural affection there. It's called brotherly love. The word Philadelphia, the name Philadelphia, comes from this word, phila, P-H-I-L-A. It's a Greek word. And it's talking about brotherly love, concern one for another. If you have aught against a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are not right with God. You cannot make a difference in this world if you are not in right relationship with fellow believers. That's what he's saying here. Here's what he says. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Verse number 10. And indeed, you do it towards all the brethren which are in Macedonia, in the country of Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you ought to increase more and more. You want to make a difference? Then love people. You want to make a difference? Love people. You want to make a difference? Love people. It does not mean you accept everything they do. You don't accept and excuse everything I do, and I don't excuse and love everything that you do, but I love you. Because you're a soul. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, we're stuck with each other for eternity. Amen? It doesn't mean you accept it. It means you love one another. Not based upon anything other than the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You can't make a difference with hate. If I walked out of here spouting hate and screaming at the top of my lungs and saying all kinds of derogatory things about you, and then I say, oh, I love you, that's completely different. Wrong. You make a difference by loving people. And the way you love people is not always verbal. The way you love people is the way you treat them. Oh, I love you. Ooh, I love you. Wrong. I love you. You say, now, Brother Brian, how do I go about loving people? Here's the answer. If the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, He'll tell you how to love people. I can do what? All things through who? Christ, who strengthens me. Brother Brian, I don't know how to love my brother. I don't know how to love my parents. I don't know how to love my children. I don't know how to... And you fill the blank in. You know how you do it? You ask God to show you. You ask God to help you do it. Because sometimes you've got to have Him to help you do it. Because you just can't do it yourself. How many of you ever been there where you just can't love somebody? How many of you ever been there where you just can't love yourself? That's a whole different sermon. You can love when you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So making a difference. Walking in holiness. Number two, learning to love and demonstrating love. And number three is walking in honesty. Walking in honesty. Verse number 11. And that you do study to be quiet. Now, it doesn't mean with your mouth closed. That's not what it means. The word quiet there means inner peace. And that you study, you learn to have inner peace. And to do your own business and to work. Oh, work. Oh, my goodness. That's a hard word right there. Underline that word. Circle that word. To work. I believe that if you're going to get paid for a day's work, you ought to work a day's work. He says, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Why? That you may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Why? Why should we work? Why should we put the effort into it? Because there's a world that is watching us. There is a world that is looking for something true. There is a world looking for something to hold on to. Brothers and sisters, we ought to be the most diligent people about serving the Lord Jesus Christ in what we do. We ought to be the hardest workers. Amen? You may not be the best worker, but you ought to be the hardest worker. Because it represents the Lord Jesus Christ. So that people will ask you, well, who do you serve? Hold your finger here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. And it's not just applying to adults, it applies to everybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 40. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church about spiritual gifts. But what he says here in verse number 40 applies to everything. Here's what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 40, he says this. Let all things be done decently and in order. Everything ought to be done decently and in order. In other words, opposite of laziness. Opposite of chaos. Opposite of half done. That's what he says. You want to make a difference? You want to make a difference in this world? You want to live a radical life? Be holy. Be holy. Number two, love the brethren. Love each other. And then number three, be honest in what you do. There's nothing worse than a dishonest Christian. Well, I was so-and-so, and he was a deacon at so-and-so, and all he did was get out and drunk and run around on his wife. I guess that's where Wake Forest got their mascot from, the demon deacons. I don't know where it come from. You know, and all those jokes about the deacons, you know, the deacons are out smoking a cigarette while the sermon's going on outside. Listen, brothers and sisters, you claim the name Jesus Christ, live it. Why, Brother Brian? So that we can make a difference to the world around us. See, I believe the Bible, as a matter of fact, if you look at the next verses, it talks about the rapture. I believe the rapture is imminent. At any moment, it's coming. And I know that I'm going. In spite of being a pastor, I'm going. And what qualifies me? Because Jesus Christ is my Savior. So then why should I live this? So that others may know also. You don't have to know this whole thing. Matter of fact, I know very few people who know everything about this. But you know how to walk holy. You know how to love people. You know how to walk honestly. You say, what do you mean? I just gave it to you. I just gave it to you. Make a difference. This world needs it. Make a difference. You want to stand out? Be holy. You want to change somebody's life? Show them love. You want to make a difference? Walk honestly. That's what it says. I want to make a difference. How about you? How about you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you know exactly every heart in this very building. You know exactly what's taking place in every single life. And God, I do not stand before these brothers and sisters in somehow thinking that I'm better than them, because I am not. I'm made out of the same mud they are. I'm a sinner saved by grace. God, you have called me to make a difference in this world for you. But I cannot do it unless I live a holy life. I cannot do it unless I live in love. And I cannot do it unless I walk honestly in this world. I pray, God, that if there's areas of our life that do not meet these standards, that, God, we would repent of them and we would turn back to walking how you have called us to walk. Father, I understand we'll never be perfect on this earth, but we can definitely grow in our sanctification as we do what your word tells us to do. If there's something in our lives that you have showed to us this morning, that the Holy Spirit has spoken to us about, I pray, God, that we would deal with you and that we would obey and repent and turn back to you. You know our hearts, God. You know what's going on. And God, we need you. We need your power and strength. In Christ's name I pray. Miss Shirley's going to play. I'm going to give you just a few moments where you're sitting. Maybe you need to talk with the Lord.